War of the Spark in Prince category.
Oh no, you didn't!
Oh no, I did that to you? I'm so sorry!
Dang it! Betrayal!
I didn't know!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to not just another episode of Lords of Limited. We've got part two of the Paternity / Wedding Chronicles here for you. My name is Ben Warney. Joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Crimson Vow Sachs. Notice we've not got a magic card today. We've got a magic set. Ethan, what's going on today?
We are doing, a brainchild of mine that's like a year in the making now. I'm titling it very elegantly, The Draft of Drafts. And I'm extremely excited to unveil what that means. But we have a really, really cool show lined up for you, I think.
Yeah, and we've also got some fantastic guests on tap. So first on, we're going to welcome to the show Nikolai Bolas, acclaimed YouTuber, drafter. Both you and I, Ethan, have guested numerous times on his channel. I think maybe only twice for me, maybe once, twice. I don't know. You've been on there a few times.
I've taken many gems away from Nikolai over the years, so I'm happy to have him on the show.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. Big fan of the podcast, long time listener. And I'm not going to say first time caller because that's too cliche, but it is true.
Well, and you also are not the first time caller because you appeared on our first ever live show in Las Vegas in 2019.
You're right.
So you're not even a first time caller.
Yeah, that's huge street cred for the home team.
Continuing along the Titans of Limited, we have Alex Nikolic, a.k.a. Quarter Calls, from the Limited Level Ups podcast.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? This is, it's going to be, we're going to try to keep it under wraps. Five magic podcasters who like to talk a lot. I say that myself, probably the one who likes to do it the most. So we'll try to keep it even, but I'm happy to be here and excited to talk about some magic with y'all.
And we have Sam Pratt from Rough Draft, a.k.a. Samp. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. I think this is my third time on Lords of Limited, so I am very happy to be back, and I will be winning the draft today. So,
wow. So
strong words. Nikolai, when are you starting your podcast?
Yeah, exactly. I felt honored to be grouped in with the podcast crew there. The Nikolai Bolas show incoming, clearly.
So let's do just brief housekeeping real quick. I feel like it's important to talk about the Patreon because we would not have connections with these three fine folks if it wasn't for the Patreon. So you too could guest on our show in 7 years if you wanted to develop deep-seated friendships with us through the internet.
Play the long game.
Play the long game with us over at patreon.com/lordsoflimited, where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. Got great tiers, great rewards via those tiers, access to our Discord, access to our podcast feed, where you get not only this episode a day really ad-free, but also access to our weekly bonus episodes of Lords Unlimited. And also just want to say a massive thank you to all of our patrons out there for making this Paternity Chronicles possible. It's amazing to think that I can take a little paternity leave from my magic podcasting job, and the job will be back here when I get back. So much love and thank you to all of you. We really appreciate your support.
Truly cannot say thank you enough.
Okay. Let's dive into what we're doing today. Today we're doing the Draft of Drafts. This is inspired from a recurring segment or recurring episode template from my favorite podcast out there called The Big Picture. They usually do this for movies. They'll usually pick a year and have different categories of movies to draft from that year, whether it's in categories of drama or comedy or blockbuster with some box office threshold, Oscar nominee, whatever. And I love those episodes. It's a great time for them to like be able to talk about a trip down memory lane, but also it's got that competitive juice. And I was like, I really want to do this for magic and magic sets. And obviously we all draft all the time. So why not draft our draft sets? So today we are going to be doing the same thing. That's why we're calling this the Draft of Drafts. We have picked six categories to draft from. We will define a draft order in a minute. We'll talk about those categories and we'll talk about the pool of draft sets that we are drafting from. So the six categories today that we'll be drafting magic sets from are New Plane, which is defined as any instance of the first time we go to a world. Returning Plane / Core Set / Remastered Sets. So this is defined as any time we return to a world that we've seen before. Then some more fungible categories, let's say. Prince Format, a draft format where rares, mythics, bombs are what you remember as defining the set. Synergy format are draft formats where synergy and decks that were greater than the sum of their parts are what you remember. Hate draft, which is you pick a set to add to another player's roster to weaken the quality of their draft. And finally, GOAT, another sort of loose category, could be your personal greatest of all time set, could be on your shortlist, could be a community consensus favorite, could have a favorite mechanic archetype. I doubt we will all, we'll see, be able to draft our actual GOATs, especially if there's overlap. Because as this draft works, once a draft set is drafted by someone, it is off the board. We have chosen to draft from a pool of 47 eligible sets. These are all the arena draftable sets, save for Khans of Tarkir. That has been removed since it's sort of like squeaked in there after the fact. So looking at sets from Ixalan all the way up to the most recent set, Secrets of Strixhaven. I am curious, actually. I'll pose a more pointed question. Without revealing too much, Alex, what preparation did you find yourself doing for today?
I poured over all of the sets you gave us, and honestly, I thought for quite a long time, especially about the synergy category. Because, like, that one's kind of like, you know, how broad do you want to be? You could be, like, super, super pointed synergies, or, like, I'm going to spoil a little something here. Is that okay? Can I spoil something I don't have on my list? Will that be allowed?
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to put M19 in the synergy category, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. It's just, like, it's one of my favorite formats that is terrible because you had to, like, piece together all the pieces that like made a deck. You couldn't just be like, that's a good card, because a lot of the cards were just really crappy. So I didn't go that deep. I took a more measured approach, but I spent a lot of time on that synergy category, and I don't know, I have a lot of picks I think a lot of people are going to want, so hopefully I didn't chew myself in the foot too much.
Yeah, I definitely found myself, like, it was easy to come up with, I don't know, a half a dozen for each of the categories. And then I was realizing, oh, there's a lot of overlap in this half dozen from Cal. Yeah. Like, I just basically would like to draft these six, but I have to imagine that that's not going to be a unique take. Ben, could you tell me the difference between M19, M20, and M21 off of that?
No chance.
There we go.
No chance at all. All core sets are the same to me. I don't see uniqueness when it comes to core sets.
Sam, I'll pose the same question to you. What was your prep like for today?
Yeah, so this starts from an understanding that I'm not going to get every single pick that I want, and we are going to be fighting over the good sets by a lot. Yeah. So my prep was very much just looking at each category and making a short list of all of the sets that I liked that could fit into this category, and then thinking also about what other people might have on each of those lists, and then trying to calculate sort of what the best value I could get out of each category. So I think that this format is pretty interesting. I'm a big fantasy football guy as well. I've played fantasy football for a very long time. And this is like pretty similar of like, you're not just trying to make the best roster in a vacuum. You're trying to like game the system of like what you can get when, if that makes sense. So that was really my preparation, was all around like really thinking about the categories and like what I could fit where.
Yeah. Nikolai, how about you?
I first of all, like, made a list of all of the sets that were eligible for each category, because I wanted to like have an idea once all of my picks got sniped, so I don't run out. And then of course I made sure I remember the difference between M19, M20, and M21. I just looked and like, okay, this one's the one with elementals.
Any of those, so it doesn't matter.
Good limited podcaster and content creator should.
Oh, yes, of course. The more Alex calls me a podcaster, the bigger my ego gets. And then my last part of my preparation was I had a dream last night about the draft of drafts. And I could tell it was a dream because Shaquille O'Neal, who is not a Magic player but played for the Orlando Magic, he was on the podcast with us and he approved of my choices. And I think that was a real good confidence booster, because like I made my first pick and like everyone like collapsed in like despair because I'd taken their pick that they wanted. And that gave me a lot of confidence going forward.
This message is sponsored by Raycon. With summer in full swing and so many celebrations happening this year, whether you're headed to a backyard barbecue, running errands, or just melting in a heat wave, my Raycon Essential Open Earbuds have basically become part of my daily routine. Since they're open ear, I can listen to music or podcasts while still hearing what's going on around me. So, we've been home now from the hospital with baby girl for about 2 weeks. She's doing great, but she's still up a few times in the middle of the night, and these earbuds are a game changer. I can still fall asleep listening to a podcast and not worry that I won't be able to hear her when she wakes up thanks to the open earbuds. They're really light and the ear hook part rotates so they actually stay in. Plus, they have 8 hours of playtime and 36 hours of battery with the charging case. The essential open earbuds are a great option for every day and, in my case, every night listening. Go to buyraycon.com/lolopen to get 20% off. Thanks to Raycon for sponsoring.
Yeah, I want to add one little thing. I did a lot of rubbing my hands together, trying to pick the best hate drafts format. Just like, oh, yeah, person who gets that one, they're not going to be happy. So that was a lot of fun.
The hate draft is very interesting. I was talking to Ben about this offline. I was like, I feel like Ben and I are at a massive disadvantage in the hate draft category because we're very public and recurring about the things we don't like. I was like, who knows what Alex doesn't like? He's positive about everything.
So I've considered forming strategic friendships with people. So my hate draft of somebody is a good one, and then they give me a good one in the hate draft category.
Oh, starting into commander at this point. No politics, folks. No politics.
That's right. Everyone's out for blood today. Ben, how about you? What was your prep like for this? All vibes based, I imagine.
It was all vibes based. It was a lot looser than what the three of them were describing. I put the sets in an overall order for me. And I plan on, like, I didn't go 12 deep in each category. I went like 5 or 6 deep in each category and tried to include in those 5 or 6 a few that I thought might be sleepers. Like, I was mostly trying to identify what I thought were sleeper picks in each area because I want to zig when other people are zagging. I don't want to have a locked in strategy like the rest of you all seem to. I want to be fluid. I want to be flexible. And I plan to draft whatever's open, baby.
He's drafting the hard way.
He's drafting some way. We'll see.
It's so unlike Ben to zig when other people are zagging.
No. What will he think of next? All right. We have not come up with an order for this draft, so we will do so at the moment. I have listed all 5 of our names in a random order generator, and I'm going to click generate draft order now. Drafting first is Nikolai. Drafting second is Ben. Drafting third will be Sam. Drafting fourth is Alex. And on the wheel is Ethan.
I'm happy with this.
I don't know if I'm happy about fifth, but I did not want to pick first. Yes, we will be snake drafting. Thank you, Alex. Snake we will drafting. Be snake yeah. drafting. So Nikolai will go first. It'll go to me. I will take 2 picks and thus back to Nikolai, who will take 2 picks, etc. So Nikolai, how do you feel about being first here? Or I'll pose the question to everybody also. How do you feel about your position in the draft? But first is very interesting.
My optimal position, I think, was second. That was where I was like thinking if I could have any position, it would be second. I'm pretty fine with first. In my dream, I picked first, which maybe was prophecy. But I think I strategized based around just any of the positions. I was like, okay, I have some cards, like some sets I can pick for each of these categories, but I'm feeling decent about first place. Or first pick.
Okay. Well, if there are no other questions before we begin, Nikolai, take it away.
I just want to say before we do start, I think fifth is a pretty strong pole position. But from my loose tiers, I will say picking second, I have my first tier grouped at 12 sets, which means I get 3 of those 12 sets. And I like it.
I'm glad for you. Nikolai, what are you drafting? Pack one, pick one of these sets.
With the first pick of the 2026 draft of drafts, I will be selecting, in the GOAT category, Ikoria Lair of Behemoths. I love that format. I think companions were one of the most fun draft mechanics of all time. I didn't mind the cycling deck. I thought it was an interesting take on red-white that you don't normally see. And once people contested it, it was kind of fun on both ends. Because when nobody was contesting it, you just had these insane decks. And once people contested it, it was more interesting. And then mutate stacks were some of my most favorite things that I've ever had in any limited set ever. Where you just had these like crazy chains where you would like mutate your fourth card onto the stack of things. That worked really fun. And then there was also like
randomly like a black white humans deck that was like a sacrifice deck running around, and overall tons of fun, and I have very fond memories of that set, and I'm very happy to get that as my goat for pack one pick one here.
Now it's brutal. Brutal, absolutely brutal. That was gonna be my pick as well.
Any pick before Ben was like kind of my dream and goal in this, so it worked out.
Now, Ben, I know you would have taken Ikoria first. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And in the same category?
In the same category. Yeah, I was gonna put IKO in the goat. I think that's an unpopular choice, but
I'm seeing a lot of nods from Alex. I'm curious if that was also gonna be your pack one pick one.
You know, it wasn't pack one, but it was, I had it in a lot of my different tiers. Yeah. Like it can apply to a lot of them, right? Like New Plane, Synergy, Goat. Like I think it's very polarizing format for sure. But I know a lot of people who are like, yep, that is my favorite format.
Sam, how do you feel about Ikoria being off the board?
That's fine. I expected that.
Like Yorion 60 card decks being optimal is just like, you never have that in a set. Just that was, yeah, I had to put that.
Well, and something I was thinking about, I was thinking honestly about, because I felt like Goat was a bit more, for whatever reason, Goat felt more flexible to me than like Synergy. I was like, I can't think of a better draft pick for Synergy than Ikoria, with companions, with cycling, with Whisper Swad sacrifice, with mutate stacks. Like that is the Synergy with a capital S format in my mind. And so I was, one of the reasons I didn't want to pick first is I was like, I'm not sure where it's best to take Ikoria if that is what I think the first set to take is. So but I think have to make
the goat category, I think, is like the leader of your squad. And you kind of, I felt like I had to like lock in, like if someone looks at your list, the first thing they're looking at is where your goat, what your goat is there. And I felt pretty good locking that in, my favorite set, and getting the first pick, getting to have that feels great.
Also, I don't think you can have a bad goat.
If you guys want to come over to my house, got some Ikoria packs right here.
Wow. All right, Ben, you have the second pick.
Yeah, I'm on the clock, and I think I'm bummed. I'm a little rattled. I was pretty confident that I was going to get Ikoria in the first round. I didn't think many other people would have that up there, but I do think I have a very solid second choice, and I'm going to go with what I think is the strongest set behind Ikoria Lair of Behemoths in my goat slot, which is Duskmourn House of Horrors.
Yep.
Got to get that off the board.
Yeah. Yep, that's a biggie, too. We got two sets in my first tier off the board. The consensus is clear.
I mean, everybody knows their draft formats. The good formats are going to go quick. I mean, I think I would be shocked if somebody takes something out of somebody's top tier in the first round or two. But I think DSK, much like IKO, has it all. Like I could draft, if you told me I could only draft one format for the rest of my life, it would be like those two formats are in consideration. DSK has stuff from every category here. It's got Synergy. It's got great draft portions. It's got great deck building after you're done with the draft. It's got great gameplay. It's got bombs. I can't say enough good things about DSK. And I think the biggest nod to DSK that I can give right now is that I just finished drafting the Lords of Limited Cube and tried to, I think, model it after DSK in some senses, in that I feel like DSK is just a giant sandbox, and wanted to do that with the Lords of Limited Cube as well. So thrilled to put DSK as my goat.
That's two great sets off the board. Sam, where are we going?
All right, I am going to pick my favorite draft format of all time. I am not going to put it in goat though. Give me Kaldheim for New Plane.
Nice.
Wow, going New Plane.
Yep.
Yeah, Kaldheim's my favorite. I think it's the set that I've drafted more than any other. Part of that was it was Deep Pandemic. the other part of that is just that it's an amazing set. There were so many things to do in that format, both prescribed by WotC and also just like small little packages of Synergy too. Like I could have put this in Synergy format as well. But yeah, this is my favorite format. I'm very happy to take it this early. Once we sort of get the first two picks in, like it's starting to make more sense to me that like my roster needs to be like a reflection of my tastes as a drafter. And I can't let Kaldheim go any further.
Snowlands too. Drafting Snowlands is a big deal for me. That was one of the reasons I love that format, was because normally taking basic lands didn't matter in sets. And in that set, like, you would take basic lands out of packs and it would be correct. And that was cool.
Any worries, Sam, not putting that in your goat, that your goat is not going to hold up to other people's goats?
Yes.
That's a
sacrifice I'm willing to make, because I think goat is much more personal, I think. And I think there's a lot of formats that I can think of that I could fit into goat for a variety of reasons that that are still a very good fit for that I have reasons for.
But you said that this was your personal favorite.
Do you feel like there's category fraud here, Nikolai? That it is his goat?
It's 100%.
But he's not putting it in goat.
This is my personal favorite. It's my favorite set of all time. But I'm going to put a different one in my favorite category of all time.
I will say that I had some 11th hour worries about the scarcity of new plane. But I think ultimately it will be good. But it is worth noting that these first three sets are three of the eligible sets for new plane. It is, I think, by far, to Sam's point, the scarcest category. And goat, while you may have some personal scarcity in it, some personal restrictions to put on, every set is eligible for goat, depending on what spin you put on it. Alex, you have the pick, sir.
Okay, well, I am thrilled that nobody picked this, but my goat pick is Final Fantasy. I knew that was going to elicit that kind of reaction. I'm sure it was on a lot of people's lists. But this format, I think just like some of the other formats we've already talked about, kind of just had it all. It was, from my memory at least, one of the most balanced formats of all time. And, you know, maybe that doesn't matter to some folks. But for us that draft the formats, you know, over and over and over and over again, it's nice to have that feeling of jumping into a draft. And you don't really feel like, I should take this red card because red's a little bit better. You're just like, world's your oyster. And another kind of layer of that is you open a pack of Final Fantasy. Almost every single card has a card. You're like, oh, yeah, yep, that's a pretty good card. Very little junk. So many cool overlapping synergies. And they just crammed so much into this set, right? Like Flashback, the Living Weapon equivalent, the lands mattered, like Job Select. That was the Living Weapon thing. And like, just so many mechanics. I can't even list them all off here. I'm not a Final Fantasy head myself, so I can't exactly speak to the flavor, but I do know a lot of folks that are, and they said, yeah, the set did it justice as far as the Universes Beyond aspect of that. I don't know. I absolutely could draft this set 200 times, and I think that's kind of a core tenet of what makes a GOAT format. You're just like, you know, it's the island draft. It's just, if you're on an island, I'm happy to draft this set over and over and over again.
Category scarcity continues with new plane. I am worried for all of you non-new planers out there, because on the wheel, I am going to be drafting from new plane, and I'll be drafting from GOAT. No drum roll, no drama here, no curiosities. I am going to be taking Throne of Eldraine in GOAT. This is, I think, my actual GOAT. You know, Akoria is great, Duskmourne is great. These are all on my short list for top tier. But as I look at GOAT and New Plane, where I could also draft Eldraine is one of the few sets that I would be happy with remaining for New Plane. The Throne of Eldraine just feels great to me. The real true like 15 archetype set, where you had the 10 color pairs, you had the monocolor decks. Thinking about your mana base from jump was very interesting. The way the mechanics and synergies overlapped, and how can we not talk about Eldraine with one of the goatest limited mechanics of all time in Adventure.
I love that pick. That was my number two in GOAT category, so I'm glad it got picked on someone's GOAT roster.
Yeah, Adventure's cool.
Adventure's just cool, right? I mean, we just saw sort of the reverse with Prepared, which I think was as cool, sort of overshadowed by some other things in that format. But like, the versatility of that, being able to say, like, I'm going to run 18 lands in my deck and I'm still going to have 29 spells in it thanks to Adventure, just meant maybe this sort of started the era of you never run out of things to do with your mana in Limited because of it.
Mm-hmm. Fire design. Yeah. Fire
Monocolor design. Decks being real in that format was also so cool. Like, Adamant was such a cool mechanic.
New Plane is looking slim.
And I don't think so. There's a lot of lookers in New Plane yet.
I don't think so. I know that I could disingenuously scoop something from Ben here, but I would not do that to him.
I mean, someone that's else. Part of the game. It's part of the game.
But it wouldn't feel right on my roster.
You're trying to get the masses to agree with your roster. But this is gaming what the masses think, right?
I have to be able to sleep at night with the picks that I'm making. I if I were to draft Final Fantasy in GOAT, that would be pretty disingenuous, even if I thought that might get me the clicks. So I'm not trying to get the clicks, but I am going to pick a newie, but a goodie, in my opinion. I'm taking Edge of Eternities in New Plane. Format that is, I don't really know. I feel like the needle was on the negative side from the community at large for that set at the end of it. I really enjoyed that set. I thought Spacecraft was a fascinating mechanic, a mechanic that I thought was going to fall flat from jump and had a ton of very interesting, intricate, nuanced play to it. I thought the big game, small game aspect of that set was awesome. I will forever remember the like triumvirate of commons from that set of Cryogen Relic, Virus Beetle, and Galactic Wayfarer. A real sort of litmus test for the power, I don't know, apex of like, are you below that power level or are you above that power level? That sort of metric for the set. I had a really good time with Edge of Eternities. It recently flashed back in bot draft, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I did a handful of those and I had a great time. So Edge of Eternities is my pick for New Plane.
Yeah, I also did a bunch of those. I took a few flights recently and had not the best Wi-Fi, so I was like, let's just do some bot drafts. And I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah, Edge is great.
Yeah.
Bot draft people are getting like wrecked by limited podcasters. Like, why are you in my
look, you put a good set back there. We might have to dip our toes in, especially when what the other options are live. All right, Alex, back to you.
Okay, I'm actually a little surprised that this didn't get scooped, but my New Plane pick is Strixhaven. First time that we went to Strixhaven. And something I really look for in a new set, a new environment, a new plane, a new kind of, you know, wizard designing a new spin on something, is just something that we haven't seen before. And I think Strixhaven did that in multiple ways. Not just really going deep on spells with the Mystical Archive bonus list, Lesson Learn, such a genius way of doing it, right? How do you get more spells in your deck? Well, you put them in your sideboard and you can grab them out from your deck, right? Just made every learn card basically two spells for triggering your spells matter stuff. And what I really love, and they, of course, carry this over, is just like the different spin on the color pairs, right? Like, as limited players, we set in, set out, you know, we kind of cycle through archetypes, right? And it's like, oh, okay, here's the +1/+1 counter stuff in green, white. Strixhaven, even blue, red, which was very spell focused, was like big blue, red, big spells. And that's just like a little bit of a different spin on it. I found that very novel, very interesting, very unique. And, you know, like if you ask me today, would I rather draft original Strix and versus SOS? It's pretty close. I think the original holds up really well.
Pretty close. I was about to ask if Secrets of Strixhaven tarnishes Strixhaven's reputation at all in your mind.
I suffer a lot from recency bias, so ask me in 3 weeks and maybe I'll tell you yes it is.
The Mystical Archives in Strixhaven really, that was the first, I think, bonus sheet that they'd had for like the new string of bonus sheets. And that's a huge plus for that format too.
Absolutely.
Technically, it was the second behind Time Spiral. Well,
yeah,
that
I thought I meant in a long time. Yeah, because they did it a long time ago, but like in like modern era on Arena.
I also think it was kind of lightning in a bottle in a lot of ways, because I don't think they're going to do Lesson Learn again. I just don't think there's enough design space for it. I think that's the one and done. You know, I think they would have brought it back this time if they were.
What if we did lessons in a different set? Wouldn't that be great? That wouldn't confuse anyone.
No. Okay. They're going to do all learn cards next time, yeah.
Well, you would still get to loot, right?
You get to rummage, yeah. You still get to rummage. But you can rummage.
Sam, you're up.
All right. Give me Kamigawa Neon Dynasty in Synergy format.
That just feels wrong to me. Neo's like a raw rate format.
Is it?
Nah.
Well, I think like all of
let's
the,
let him make his case first.
All of this was very much a like all of the color pairs, all of the decks needed to be decks, not like They needed to be like that. You really needed to go after the mono red aggro. There was the enchantment synergy stuff. There was the ninja synergy stuff. I really felt like I was changing my pick order based on what direction I was drafting the set from. Like, if you start in green, what are you doing? If you start in white, what are you doing? If you're drafting like red first up, that is what is changing it. And I think that that to me is what synergy is about, is it changes your pick order in the draft. And I do feel like Kamigawa Neon Dynasty is a pretty good representation of changing pick orders based on what I have in the draft already, what route I'm taking. And I also think it was a very good set for what it was doing as well. So pretty happy to pick that second.
My rebuttal is I agree. You're drafting what you're drafting as you go. Like, if you start red, it's going to incentivize you to bump red cards up in your pick order. But from my memory of Neo, like, was that the first 2 weeks was incredible, but that after we figured out what the good cards were, most cards were static in where you draft them. Like, it was hard to change the power level of a card in Neo.
I'm going to come to Sam's defense here, because not that he needs it, because he's allowed to take Neo in synergy format without.
I agree. You can definitely pick that in Neo.
But I think the maybe not sort of the bigger things like ninjas or something, but in my mind specifically, I'm thinking of the artifact enchantment, like balance, the like have each thing. That was really where you were like, I remember just like on Arena constantly checking, like, let me look at my deck composition. Okay, I have 8 and 5. I need a few more artifacts to bump that up. Like, I do think it. You could raise the power level of a lot of cards by changing your pick order, not maybe drastically, but I remember doing a lot of like, oh, I definitely want to grab that terrarium or whatever to bump up my artifact count, that sort of thing.
Yeah, stuff like Network Terminal was really good in those middle spots.
Ooh, yeah.
I think also, like, even on the like enchantment side, they were you like more of a soupy green deck? Were you like an enchantments green deck? I think there was a lot of room for synergistic drafting in that format.
Were you doing loops with whatever, the Sky Turtle?
Big time loop mode set. Yeah.
All right. I'm on the clock. I'm going to New Plane for, I feel like I'm picking up a second goat here, which is just out of control for my list. I'm going to slam Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth in my new set as one of the, I think, windmill successes of the Universes Beyond era. I think boasting one of the best mechanics of all time in ring tempting. And I think one of the places where it was most possible to exploit what the data said. I think the data told a story of black and red for this format. And I think blue, specifically blue control, was where it was at. Blue red, blue white, this format was a blast to draft, and there was also the perfect amount of like legendary sideways build arounds, green food sideways build arounds. It was like tier 1.5 or tier 2, like, because I think Grixis was definitely where it was at, but if everybody was going after Grixis and you could put together one of those sideways build around strategies, it was definitely competitive as well. Like, you felt like you had the possibility of doing it. And then when you did do the thing with all the legendary build arounds or the food build arounds, it felt like a huge win against what were some of the more, I think, top tier decks in the format.
Yeah, I couldn't take it from you. I just couldn't do it. Would not feel right to me.
Appreciate you.
Nikolai, you have 2 picks.
I'm kind of baffled. Like, I did not think, like, 5 of the sets that I wanted are still on the board or something, and they all have so much.
That's how I feel. It's like Christmas.
It's insane, because, like, I have some sets, like, similar to how Sam was saying, there's some sets that are, like, ones that I can feel like, for myself, I can justify them very strongly that I know nobody else likes. Like, someone might give it to me on a hate draft or something like that, but I would, like, want it on my squad. So, like, I feel like some categories I just don't have to care about. But now I'm, like, all of the ones I want are overlapping, and all of them are here, and I know what 2 I'm taking, and I'm going to just be true to myself and take them in the categories that I like them in, from a personal perspective. And first of all, for Returning Plane, this also feels almost like getting a second goat for me. I'm going to take Dominaria in Returning Plane. I think that set was fantastic.
You can have it.
I know it's unpopular. Yeah. Nobody likes that set. But I loved that set. I thought it was a fantastic set. I think the first Saga set, I thought that the fact that Divination is one of the best commons in that set is like a great sign for that format. And overall, I really like getting Dominaria on my team. I knew I wasn't going to ever put it in GOAT category because I wanted Ikoria for that spot. But I feel like I want to lock up Returning Plane. That was like one of the picks that I was really would have been able to put in my GOAT category if I'd been in the fifth spot and like other people had taken stuff from me. So getting Dominaria feels pretty good for myself here with my first of the second round picks.
Also, shout out to Skittering Surveyor if we're talking about Dominaria.
Yeah. Very, very good set. The second pick that I want to make here is it's challenging because there are so many good options here, but I am going to go with Synergy format, and I'm going to go with Wilds of Eldraine. I think that set was one of those ones where there was a lot of like weird little synergies that you were assembling with like the white creature that like bounced things back to your hand, getting those roll tokens onto creatures and then sacrificing them, using the rat tokens that couldn't block in creative ways sometimes. I felt like the arc, the like strategies, there was like that blue white deck that cared about getting things tapped and then rewarding you for doing that. There was a lot of like minor synergy things that I think really played out very interestingly in Wilds of Eldraine. And I think the reason it was so hard was I almost wanted to put that in Returning Plane, but it was a very synergistic format from my point of view. And I thought that pretty well balanced, lots of really interesting cards, and the decks played out very interestingly. So I'm pretty happy to get that in Synergy, which is a kind of hard category for me because I don't always think about sets in terms of them being synergy sets or things like that. But that one, when it comes to my mind, was a fun one. And also, that was the set that I was playing when I qualified for the regional championship for the United States. So that was another personal memory. That was pretty satisfying.
Bargain being upside was a very cool, like, oh, now I get it thing about that format. And yeah, I wish I could remember the name of that 3/2 that picked something up. I loved that common. And I think Bargain Stockpiling Celebrant. Thank you, Sam. I think Bargain was a, is that in your cube? Is that why you know it?
No, I just know it. Okay. It's a great card.
He's just that good.
The aura. I just know it.
no, I just know it. The like support for that, coupled with I think it being a cool mechanic, like I feel like they just really nailed it in that set.
And they brought back Adventure, which is a great mechanic too. It was just a really fun set. So I was like one that fit in like, oh, like across my board. It just like fits into every like eligible category almost, like that it could, because I really liked that one. So really happy to get those two locked up for my squad.
We are having a very gentlemanly spread of our S tier formats. I still have, in my S tier, I still have six formats available on the board.
Well, you should pick one of them and put them in a category.
That's what's going to be happening. I need some time to think because I've been updating the spreadsheet. So, okay.
Vamp, everybody. I was going to say, if you were keeping track at home, if you had any bets, it was at the 33 and a half minute mark that Ben mentioned data. So if anyone had any bets or was doing any games out there, that's the line for how long it took for him to say the D word.
Okay. My pick, I think, is locked in. I think I could, I don't know. I'm torn because I think there's a set that I want to pick that I might be able to float all the way again.
Do it. Do it.
But if it gets sniped.
Shoot the moon.
I'm going to be very sad.
I need some drama, Ben.
Yeah, what I want you to do is try and float it. I want someone to take it, and I want the classic Ben, like, dang it!
Just do the same reaction to when you get countered by having to pay two when you have exactly. One mana.
All right. I do think I can float it. I think I'm going to float it, and I'm going to be selecting in the Prince category.
Okay.
What I think is the best Prince format of all time, which is Theros Beyond Death. It's got Dream Trawler. It's got Kiora Best the Sea God. It's got commons that are atrocious. It's got escape cards that keep coming back over and over and over and over. If I think there's like a, if you think, if you ask me like Prince format, there's a short list of about like two or three formats that immediately come to mind. And I think Theros Beyond Death is the top of those lists. So I want to lock in what I think is the best Prince category, because I think I can float some other great sets in some other categories.
It's very interesting.
I respect it. I had that on my list. I think, yeah, there's just some ridiculous bombs in that set. And then my favorite part of that set was honestly the weird, like the fact that there was three blue commons that all cost three mana at instant speed. And like you could have the Vexing Gull, the whatever the counter spell was for creatures, and then the Thirst for Knowledge, or not the Thirst for Meaning or whatever. And like when your opponent had two and it blew up, you were like, oh gosh, what do they have? Can I figure this out somehow? That was like my favorite part of that format almost.
Yeah, that was my top pick for Prince, and part of it is I just have a lot of fond memories. You know, I was with these two fine gentlemen, Ethan and Ben, in a hotel lobby.
GP New Jersey.
Yeah, we laid out all the cards the night before, just ranking them, talking about the formats. I had a great time with that, and when you guys talked about it when it came back a few years, like that was, I was like, ooh, baby, love hearing this again. So, yeah. Brutal, Ben.
I have a little story about that too. I was at Grand Prix New Jersey as well, and preparing for that tournament was what got me to start listening to Lords of Limited.
Wowie
zowie.
I thought he was gonna be like, I was watching you every round. I was also at New Jersey. Every photo is just him in the background lurking.
I have a memory of, so I have the same memory that Alex does of us doing our sort of like limited testing meeting and like laying out all the cards in the lobby. And then I also remember like a young kid like crashing that testing meeting.
Oh yeah.
And just sort of like inserted himself in. And for a second I was like, was that Sam? all right. It also brings, like, well, I think we'll figure it out as we continue, but it's interesting to, Prince format is such a loose defined, like, are you thinking of it as the set I like the most that happens to be a Prince format? Or are you thinking of it as like the most princely of Prince obnoxious rares format? And I think
that's what I want to stake my claim as. I think I picked the most princely of Prince formats in a format that also is very sentimental and has fond memories of me because of all the GP New Jersey stuff you were talking about. Like I had the worst sealed pool of all time at that GP, and I somehow made it to day two. Like I just kept sheepishly coming up to you after every round and being like, well, I won again. I'm not sure how.
R.I.P. Kobe, by the way. That's when we found out. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but yeah.
R.I.P. to a real one. Sam, you're up.
I'm going to pick my GOAT tier, or I'm going to pick my GOAT set for the GOAT category. Give me Brothers War GOAT.
Mm, yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
This is a personal pick. I love this set. This set was the first time that I felt like I myself broke a format. So like Kaldheim was the set that I drafted the most, and I felt like I had a very good foothold in that. But Brothers War was like the first time I remember I had been playing a lot of Magic Online, and then I swapped back to Magic Arena, and I had like a 90% win rate in best of three when I swapped there. And that was the first time in my limited playing history that I felt like I had actually broken it, which was basically just drafting teamer artifact stuff, like multicolor teamer artifact decks. Sometimes you were like Black Sacrifice. Sometimes you were like white for like Yoshin Dissident, green-white stuff. But that was like the format where I felt like I was doing something that the community wasn't at the time. And I felt like I had something to offer for the first time. So it's a very personal choice for myself, but it's one that I stand by, and I'm happy that I got to pick one of the sets that does mean a lot to me in my GOAT tier. There's a couple other sets I'm trying to float for other categories, so we're going to see how that goes. I also knew I couldn't, I was scared of, floating this one past Ethan, because I know you're a Brothers War stan as well.
I am a Brothers War. It was not in my S tier, but it did just come off my A tier. I'm getting nervous. I feel like it's about to get scrappy.
Yeah, I don't know if the listeners feel this too, but just like I can feel in my loins, just the tension is rising at this point, right? Just like it's getting tight. So I'm gonna go with, I'm glad you like that, Nikolai. I'm going to go with...
In your loins, the tension is rising.
For anyone keeping track at home, that was at 46 minutes in was when Alex talked about his loins. So that's just for the bingo card out there. Yeah.
10 minutes later, I might mention it again. So I'm going to give my prince format pick. And I approach this the same way as Ben. Just like you get the most points for like, this is the princeliest of prince formats. And I'm going to go with Crimson Vow. So Crimson Vow, just, I think most people who played it would just remember the bombs, right? There's the Averbrook Caretaker. There's the demon, Dread Feast demon, the 7-mana 6/6 flyer that made a bunch of copies of itself. You know, I could list a bunch of bombs all day, but what really made that a prince format, the princeliest of prince formats to me, is the typical strategy of beating bombs, whereas you go under them, you draft a good aggro deck. That didn't really work very well in Crimson Vow. The aggro cards were not great. And so, like, you just really did end up in a spot where it's like, I hope you drafted a lot of removal, because if not, you're probably going to die. And even if you did, you might face Averbrook Caretaker, which just has Hexproof. So, really brutal format. I, you know, to say a positive about it, Blood is sweet. Blood is a really awesome mechanic. Like, I think one of the best little, like, trinkety token mechanics they've had. But yeah, just a brutal format.
And a brutal pick for Ethan.
Yeah, as a brutal pick for Ethan, that would have been the truest to my heart pick for the princely format. I was very much a, you know, busted rares are good for limited, and that set was my soapbox for that. So it does feel like a little bit of a knock against my roster. I'm gonna need to pick up the pieces a little bit.
I think that set was the one where the counter spells became so valuable. Like, blue had like three counter spells. It had Syncope, it had whatever the blue one was that made you a blood token and could counter like creatures or something, and then it had like the uncommon that got cheaper when you had spirits and was like a mana leak. And like playing those in that format felt amazing. I was like, okay, I have like counter spells for your bombs, and it was one of the best formats for playing counter magic that I've ever experienced.
Also, shout out to Mr. Brian Comer, the goat blue white uncommon. That was a sweet one.
This is tough. This is very tough for me. I may ask for some vamping time as I pick up the pieces of Vow being off the board now. I'm left feeling like Vow felt like the clearest overlap to me of obnoxious bombs and set that matters to me. And I am now left with three differing, like, I have a clear pick of the set that I like the most, that I feel like I might have to make a bit of a case for it as a prince format. And then there are two other sets that I feel like have stronger cases as prince formats, but that I have less of a personal attachment to.
I took the prompt as prince format that I like the most.
Yeah, that's what I thought of it as well, too.
I feel like that's everybody trying to salvage their cases. Alex and I crushed the prompt.
Yeah.
Well, I liked the sets you guys picked. Like, I enjoyed Theros Beyond Death and Crimson Vow, but they was like bomb sets that I liked, like synergy set that I liked. Yeah.
And I will say, if you need more vamping time, Ethan, I thought about picking Vow, and because you did me a solid with Lord of the Rings, I took TBD. I was between Vow and TBD as my number one pick, and I thought about taking Vow to hurt you and help me, but it stayed true to myself with TBD.
There are still two sets in my S tier that I feel like I can take back-to-back here, so I'm going to do that. I will start with, in Prince format, I'm going to take March of the Machine.
Yeah, that was mine.
Now, we've got a return of companions here, which is obviously why I adore this set. But we also have Breach the Multiverse. We have Sunfall. We have Zephyr Singer. We have a bonus sheet, including Elishnorn Grand Cenobite. We have the Praetor cycle at Mythic. Bombs abound in March of the Machine, despite it being a gumption format, despite... I feel like March of the Machine, you could have also taken in synergy with Red Black Sacrifice and Blue White Knights. Like, there were, and companions as well, I think, slot into that. It's interesting that I think a set could have been drafted in multiple, in those two categories, because I think we often think of bomby, princely, and synergy at opposite ends of the spectrum. But I'm going to take March of the Machine, a set that I have a very, very high fondness for in Prince format. Nikolai, how you feel?
I didn't expect it to come back to me. That was the one that I thought people were going to take, because the bonus sheet was like all crazy powerful rares from like the past like 10 years or whatever. And then battles kind of had some like snowball, like there were some really powerful battles and there was one of those in every pack. And it felt like that was the first set where it was like, oh, I could open four busted cards in one pack. Like, yeah, I thought that one was going to get taken. I almost took it last time. Like when I that was one of those ones I thought was going to get taken like before it got back to me. So I was pretty sure that was going to be gone this time.
And I think, no, I guess I'm not going to be the first person drafting here. I will be taking in Synergy format Kaladesh Remastered. So we got energy, we got modules, we got trinkety artifact stuff. Kaladesh Remastered in all of the Pioneer Remastereds, Amonkhet Remastereds of the Arena era, Shadows over Innistrad Remastered. Kaladesh Remastered is far and away my favorite of the remastered sets that we've had on Arena. And I'm thrilled to be able to ether swoop right in and take it.
Let it be known, at 52 minutes on the podcast, Ethan makes the first dad joke.
There it is. There it is. All right, thank you. Keep me honest.
Then there's going to be edits to the podcast, and like it's going to be all of the timestamp references are just going to be in shambles. They're going to be like, what is he talking about?
Just going to have a robo voice dub over it. You souped me, by the way. You really did. That was going to be my next pick for the same category, Ethan.
Wow,
so.
Okay. All right.
We're getting to the point where I think the kind of sleeper picks can start to come out, where we're starting to get to the latter half of our draft year. So for returning plane / remastered set, I'm going to give it to Shadows over Innistrad Remastered.
Ooh, you scooped Ben. You love
to
see
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I might. So this was my favorite remastered set. And just, you know, real quick on remastered sets, I'm a big fan. Like, I obviously they don't have the resources or potentially the player interest to do this for every set, but it's so cool to be like, this was a pretty good draft format. Let's make it a little bit better. Let's take out some of the junk. Let's move things around rarity wise, and let's just really hone it and master it. And I think they did that beautifully with Shadow over Innistrad Remastered. I mean, flashback is like a all-time GOAT mechanic, which was on the bonus sheet, which is another point I really like on Arena. This was a rotating bonus sheet. And so it was out for 4 weeks, and each week had a different bonus sheet with a different theme. So 1 week it was flashback. 1 week it was like sacrifice, death matters. And it was just so cool that every single week have a slightly different format. I just loved everything about that. And the gameplay was good. The highs and lows of different kinds of draft, different kind of decks. Like, you go way over the top, no creatures, Return Upon the Tides or whatever that was called. The make a bunch of tab zombies. You play an aggro deck. Format was great. One of my favorites.
Ben, are you devastated right now?
I'm not thrilled. I'm not thrilled about it. I do love Shadows over Innistrad Remastered. Fond memories of cashing the arena open for 2K with back-to-back spider spawning decks that I drafted beautifully. Like, I drafted out of my mind in those, because I was drafting where I had a functional deck, but like if I saw a spider spawning, I could take it, and I got hooked up with the spider spawning. Like, I don't think a lot of people could have drafted my seats as well as I did in that draft format. So I think Shadows over Innistrad is remastered is excellent for all the reasons Alex said. I props to him for picking it. I will say I still have four sets in my S tier, and I'm like almost regretting my TBD pick.
Your S tier is as big as the ocean. Like, how big is your S tier? Like, you have no other tiers. It's just everything is S tier.
Ben's like, these guys even like
Magic? I know. That's what I'm thinking. I love Magic. What can I say?
Nice pick. All right, Sam.
All right. I'm going to fill in my prince category. And this is not what I thought I was going to be picking for this category, but the combination of me realizing live this draft is kind of like a reflection of me as a Magic player, and also the greater influence on like picking the bombiest set for the Prince category rather than what I was thinking of like my favorite set that was a Prince set. Give me Tarkir Dragonstorm for Prince set. This is the first
4/2 trample,
the champion of Dusan. This is the first first set of my podcast. Champion of Dusan, Dragonstorm Globe, which I actually barely drafted myself. Stuff like Blue Red Prowess, I really liked. I just really liked this set at the time, like way more than the general populace. I felt like I saw something in it that a lot of people didn't. And at the same time, it has a lot of disgusting bombs. I will say that almost all of the most egregious ones are at Mythic. They did like do a very good job of categorizing the most busted rares per rarity. Like, I think the only big outlier is Meringue River Regent is a rare. But it is worth noting that like every single Mythic is like absolutely broken at this format. Jeskai Revelation, Elspeth, Yureni, a lot of disgusting stuff that you can do in this format and the fixing to splash it all. So bit of a controversial pick for the general public, but this set means a lot to me. And I personally really like it as well.
Yeah, I think Sage of the Skies at rare was also messed up. The only knock on this as a Prince format was red white aggro could kind of fight the bomb deck, and that didn't necessarily need rares. But I mean, the rares you list, they're just insane. So I had this in my rares category as well, potentially. Tarkir is also awesome.
I was thinking to myself, I was like, was this really a bomby set? And then I looked on 17 lands, and the fifth card was Meringue River Regent. I was like, yep, say no more. I'm good. Sounds good. Thank you. No notes. What categories do you have left, Ben? What do you need to fill in?
I have Synergy, Hate Draft, and Returning Plane left to fill in. And I'm wondering, I feel like I could make a move that would hurt Nikolai quite a bit, but that is not really how I want to draft. And I want to know if we're getting credit for drafting well at the end of like this drafting. from the people who are deciding.
That's why you feel like you need a final jury pitch.
I think you should really draft well. I think drafting well is better. I think everyone would believe that.
I feel like there's a Ham TV quote about how drafting well doesn't get you any extra points or something like that. Like I bet he has like a really good one-liner.
Ben, what are you referring to? Referring to the new plane scarcity.
Here's what I'm referring to: the new plane scarcity, and I cannot believe we have let Avatar: The Last Airbender slide this long for Nikolai to pick up late. Well, and I think you can make a case for it for Synergy. It's got some of the best new mechanics. It feels tough to let that slide to him in new plane, and I assume that's what he's picking, but maybe not.
I think I have better choices.
I think you should do what's best for you.
You could take it.
I did like that format, but it is not as high up as some others that are still available. But it is in my S tier, which is wild to say. But I think I'm gonna let Nikolai fill out his draft format, and I'm gonna do what I want to do for me, because I don't truly want Avatar on my roster at this point. So I'm deciding between Synergy and Returning Plane, and there's so many options. I think I'm going to go in the Returning Plane slot, what I think is one of the best clean skill testing draft formats of all time. And we're going to go back to we're not just going back to Dominaria. We're going back to Dominaria United.
Ugh.
Nice.
Get some DMU in the Returning Plane.
It's the anti Prince format. That was like,
yeah, right.
You open your rare slot and it's like a dual land, a commander.
Yeah, which is great. You had to draft a deck, and there was Domain. There was white, black. There was white, blue. The color pairs worked. There was Domain. Domain was the talk of the town, but if you were trying to force it, you could draft these other things. DMU, I think, was a true skill testing format because there weren't the egregious rares running around to randomly dip your win rate. Like, I savaged Dominaria United as a draft format because I think I understood it from jump, and I think it rewarded what I do best as a drafter, which is read what's open and keep yourself open to multiple avenues. And the longer you could delay the decision and find what you were supposed to be doing in DMU, and it was all viable because the power level was so pushed down because there weren't the bomb rares running around.
Fantastic.
Anyone else like this format as much as Ben?
I liked it
a decent amount.
I didn't play it a ton. I had a lot of stuff going on at that time, but I remember the like fact that the Wingmantle Chaplain Defenders deck was really good, was like really cool and unique. It was like, wow, the Defenders meme deck is actually like great in this format. Let's go.
A lot of the time when we return to a plane, it's kind of like, that was good, but like maybe not as good as the first time. At least for me personally, I thought it was like five times better than the first outing in Dominaria. You know, or like, not the first outing, but you know, 2018 Dominaria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think... For my list got kind of scuppered by the fact that there was too many good options available for myself. And so one of my like sleeper pick options that I felt would last until this point in the draft, I got like better options in that category. And now I don't have a place to put it, which is kind of funny. But we'll see who ends up with it on their team.
Are you gonna let Ben make your pick for you? Like, are you gonna let him basically tell you what to take in New Plane, or are you gonna think for yourself?
No, I only had two options in New Plane, and I think I might be able to convince someone to give me the other plane that I want from New Plane in Hate Draft, because it's that despised.
Wow.
And I would be willing to bargain for someone to give me that plane in Hate Draft, and then I give you a mediocre plane that you like that everyone else hates. Because
No. No command, no trading happening.
I can be diplomatic. Ben is kind to me, so maybe me and Ben can work out an arrangement. But I only had a couple of options in New Plane, and I do love Avatar: The Last Airbender, and so I am going to be picking that for my New Plane. I love the show. I rewatched it in preparation for the set. The flavor was nailed on so many metrics. I almost had this in Prince format because it did have some really powerful cards. But I do think that this set in particular was like pretty balanced. There was like a variety of strategies you could do. And I think they really nailed like all four of the different decks that you could kind of like the main mechanics. And so I'm going to put Avatar into my New Plane category. My second pick for Prince format, I'm kind of surprised this is still on the board, honestly. I really liked this set. It was super unique, super fun. I'm going to be taking War of the Spark in Prince category.
Oh, no, you didn't!
Oh, no, I did that to you! I'm so sorry!
Dang it!
Betrayal!
I didn't know! I thought you were going to take it if you wanted it. But War of the Spark, I absolutely think is like one of the craziest formats ever. There were so many planeswalkers. It had to change the way you drafted. And then, of course, there's a ton of bombs running around because there's just like planeswalkers in like every single pack. And some of them are very, very strong. There was like crazy like random board sweepers that will like let you save one of your creatures, pick it back to your hand or whatever with the Teferi board wipe. There was just like Liliana Dreadhorde General is just crazy. There's a lot of really strong cards in that set, and it's also a very unique set, and it's one of those ones where when drafting it you just get this kind of vibe that you don't get in other sets. So I'm taking that for my Prince set, and I'm honestly feeling pretty good about being able to get both of those, because those were both ones that were like I had hoped to maybe get in those categories. So
all right, Ben is reeling. Ben's reeling right now.
Well, I'm reeling, but I think I can hurt Nikolai's case because I was going to put War in Synergy format. I don't think War is a Prince format. I think War is board presence, people, the format. And if you get on board with commons and uncommons, you can invalidate the vast majority of rares that exist in that format. And so I don't think that's as strong of a Prince pick as could be.
That should be, to the people out there, we haven't talked about how the results will be. We'll have some voting in various places, YouTube comments, Discord, social media. Take into account category fraud and be your own judge. If you agree with Ben that Nikolai has misplaced War of the Spark, let that influence your decision. But I think the Nikolai horde is coming for us no matter what. So It's predestined from jump. All right, Ben, you have Synergy format and you have Hate Draft.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking in the Synergy format category. And we're finally, Nikolai crossed off two of my remaining S tiers in War of the Spark and Avatar: The Last Airbender. And so I'm gonna lock up my last set from the S tier, which is Modern Horizons 3 in Synergy format. I think that is one of the most synergistic formats. Like, if you weren't doing something synergistically busted, then you were going to lose to Writhing Chrysalis. And I think people who don't understand how to draft with Synergy think that that format was ruined by Writhing Chrysalis. And I think people who do understand how to draft with Synergy know that Writhing Chrysalis wasn't the be-all end-all in that format. And I think there was so much room in Jeskai Energy. There were so many cool build-arounds in Essence Reliquary or something like a Cursed Marauder. Just having that and making somebody sacrifice a non-token creature and looping that with the recurring nightmare variant that was in the format. There was so much cool, powerful, over-the-top synergistic stuff that you could do in Modern Horizons 3.
I think I understand Synergy, and I also think Writhing Chrysalis ruined that format. So I don't know how we're gonna move forward from here, but
arguably the bombiest format because the bomb was at common.
I think you could make that case. I think you could have taken it in Prince format and be like, the Prince was in common's clothing all along.
Yeah,
man, Prince and the Pauper, as they say, he swapped places with a rare or something.
Sam,
Do I get bonus points for the returning plane category if my set returned to three different planes? What do we think?
No!
I'm taking Aether Drift for returning plane. I think this format, I know Ethan picked it as his favorite format of last year. I also picked it as my favorite format of last year. I think this format was very underrated. It was pretty imbalanced towards green. Green was just like by the default best thing to do. But I think that that sort of was an interesting texture of the format, especially when people adjusted their pick orders accordingly. There was just a lot to do between all the things that starting column, basically anything that starting column could do. There was a really fun deck that could do it. There was like blue red discard. There was the start your engine stuff. There was just like these multicolor nonsense piles that I was drafting. Like, this format is very, very underrated because a lot of people didn't like the setting. And I am feeling very good about my roster now. And especially because they line up with a lot of my favorite sets in general.
For full points, though, Sam, what were the three planes that the race took
it
place
on? Avishkar, formerly known as Kaladesh. It was Amonkhet. And then it was Muragonda, which debuted in Time Spiral Block, Alex.
Sam knows his planes. Okay, just gotta check. Just gotta check.
Could have put any amount of money on that question to me, and I would have never won it in a million years.
Ben, if someone had tried to draft that in New Plane, would you have batted an eye before the list came out yesterday?
I was wondering why that wasn't in New Plane on everybody's list. Of there was a lot of talk about New Planes being scarce, and I was thinking, I don't see DFD on here.
The New Plane thing was crazy because someone's like, I count 11, and I was like, I count 15, and someone was also like, I count 11, but I'm also including Universes Beyond, and I was like, how are people, like, what is, we have some standardization now.
All right, Alex, where are we going? Okay.
Well, I feel like there's a bit of a super team forming with Nikolai and Ben talking about trying to help each other out with their lists here. So I'm gonna plug in my hate draft, I think, here.
Ooh.
This is crazy.
Partially because I led with the super team. And yeah, Sam's me and Sam and Ben, or we're kind of free agents right now, but I really like Ben's lineup. Like, not only did he steal a few from me, but I think if I'm to say who has the best right now, I think it's Ben. And so I'm gonna plug him. I'm gonna hate draft him with maybe the most maligned set of the last 10 years, Spider-Man.
Oh my god.
Okay, Ben's getting stuck with Spider-Man.
Brutal. Yeah.
That's crazy because the pregame discussion of me being, I said, does Spider-Man count as a new plane? And Ben saying, if you put Spider-Man anywhere other than hate draft, you're going to get walked out of the building.
Here we go.
You did it in such a way. The vengeance pick is so much later. Oh,
yeah. And before I pass to Ethan, I'll just say, Ethan, your hair is looking very shiny. Your skin is looking very clear. I'm trying to curry some favors to potentially not stick me with a hate draft. I'll send it over.
So you've done yourself a great service because I too was planning to send my hate draft to the person whose roster I liked the most. Mm-hmm. And while I don't love your roster, Alex, I also think you have done yourself a service by you've left Synergy format blank for yourself. You have an incomplete roster, so it looks worse than it might ultimately end up looking. But both of those mean I'm not going to hate draft you. But I will start by, with great relief, being able, in returning plane, to take Ravnica Allegiance and get Dovin's Acuity in my roster.
Nice.
I was very, if Aether Drift was gone and then, like, I was looking and Alex has Synergy format and you could make a massive case that Dovin's Acuity and High Alert and all the gates of it all, that is a very synergistic format. And if that was gone, I was going to have some struggle bus time to pick. I was going to need some real vamping time to pick a set I would be happy with in returning plane. But I'm very thrilled to get to take Ravnica Allegiance. It's a guild set, but I think it is often thought of as one of, if not the best, guild sets, sort of an outlier of replayability in that sense. So I'm thrilled to take it. And in Hate Draft, when you said the most maligned set of the past 10 years, I thought for sure you were going to take what I am going to take, which I feel like is the actual clear basic AI slop of draft formats from the past 10 years. And that is Alchemy Horizons Baldur's Gate.
Oh, I like that one.
Get out of here. With what if all we changed was some things and still blue was terrible? Reskin of a limited format. And I'm going to give that to who I believe has the strongest roster at the moment. And that is Sam Pratt.
Would you believe I've never played a game of Alchemy Horizons Baldur's Gate?
That's the perfect pick for him then.
That feels even better then to give it to you. And you're like, I don't even know what I have. I don't even know what this is.
Man, it's so bad that he didn't even play it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, I'm gonna pause this here. How do you want me to notate Hate Draft? Like, do you want me to put it in your roster with who you hate drafted it to?
No, it should go in the roster of the person who received the set.
But then it looks like I'm done making picks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I guess it'll be fine.
But we know you're not.
I'll hate draft somebody else. Okay. Yeah. So I'm putting Baldur's Gate in Sam's, and I'm putting Spider-Man in mine.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, it feels bad when you have the first pick and everyone's talking about how your roster isn't looking good enough to hate draft. On the other hand, I'm like, thank you, dodging. Like, he was like, Nikolai and Ben are forming this strong power alliance, so I'm going to hate draft one of them. I'm like, oh, no, not me. Please, no Spider-Man. No.
Your roster is great, too. Your roster is great, too.
I feel like the rosters are all better than I thought they would be, not going to lie. Like, well, I thought that there'd be, like, some weaknesses somewhere.
Now that I'm tapped out, like, I've made all my picks. We'll get the final round here, but all of, like, as much as we sort of felt like we were playing nice, all of my S tier and A tiers are gone now, and very few of my B through F tiers have been taken. So I do feel like we all mostly had the same, like, whether or not the nitty gritty of the order was there. For me, I feel like when I look at all the sets that are gone, as we wrap up, it feels like we all had the same divide of what were the sets worth drafting and not.
Yeah, I'd be curious when we're done to see, like, what sets, like, we thought maybe should have been drafted and aren't yet.
What's the best set that's on the table, or what do you think the worst set drafted is?
Oh, yeah. I have one that I am sad that's not on my team, but my team is so good that I'm not.
All right, Alex, take us home here. Where are we going?
You know, I unintentionally left Synergy last. Kind of thought I'd fill it in sooner, and I was excited because of what you said a few minutes ago, where it's like, yeah, the world's my oyster, I can kind of do whatever. List is actually looking pretty slim as far as Synergy sets go. So I'm gonna take one that I don't think will win the vote of the people, but I did like it a lot, and I do know that there are some enjoyers out there. My Synergy pick is going to be a lot of Innistrad on my list, but Innistrad Midnight Hunt. So to me, when I think of Synergy set, what's really enjoyable about a Synergy set is when you get to do the thing, your deck feels great and it's going off and it's just like, how can my opponent ever beat that? And the nice thing about Innistrad Midnight Hunt is you get to do that a lot if you're drafting blue-black because all of the busted Synergy blue-black cards were amazing. I think you could also extend that to blue-white. Blue-white was doing, I mean, a lot of the blue cards were just busted, but it was doing disturb stuff, taking stuff out of the graveyard. There was, like, the blue-red spells deck that was pretty niche, but, you know, got there a good amount of the time. Even green-white, which is typically not, like, the most synergistic deck in the world for most formats. Like, the green-white coven deck, that was kind of interesting, like, balancing your power and toughnesses, so you get three unique power and toughnesses. I thought that was really cool. So I just remember a lot of good dopamine hits from drafting blue-black a lot in that format. So that is my pick for Synergy set.
Yeah, I think much like Vow is a stereotypical Prince format, I think Midnight Hunt complements it equally as well as a Synergy format. All right. That takes us on to Sam. You got a hate draft. Who are we sticking it with?
I have a hate draft.
Who are the two hate people that are left to be hate drafted? It's me and
three.
It's you, Alex, and Ethan.
Yeah.
And me and I'm the only one. No, me,
I actually have a repercussion pick, so if somebody hate drafts me, I could get them or something. Is that the way this lines up?
You will just be stuck with whoever is last to hate from.
Yeah, but
so,
which
I guess might be screwed up if like Sam. No, it can't. No,
it can't be messed up. No.
Yeah, great. All right.
So I know I don't want to hate draft Nikolai because he said that there was sets that he wanted to be hate drafted, and I kind of have a good guess of what that is, because there's a couple sets left on the list that I would consider down there with Spider-Man. I'm not going to pick one of those. I'm going to get Ethan back for giving me Alchemy Horizons Baldur's Gate.
No, what's happening?
And
here?
I am going to give him Secrets of Strixhaven because I know. Not because I think that is the worst set on this list. It is not by far. But I know that it is the one that is going to rattle him the most.
He's going to hate seeing it on his roster every day.
Exactly.
I invite you into my home. I invite you to play a fun game with me and my friends, and this is how you treat me. I see how it is.
You shot first.
I did shoot first. This is fair. It's fair play.
All right. So that leaves me hate drafting either Nikolai or Alex. Alex is difficult to hate draft because I feel like he loves Magic, and you could just give him any set and he's like, well, Sunshine and Roses. Like, I love this about this set, you know?
You have to hate from Nikolai. Otherwise, Nikolai will get to hate draft himself.
Ooh. But then I have to put it in a set that I hate. Because is it my hate draft category still?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess.
Yeah, regardless, I was going to steer clear of Alex because I think Alex is so difficult to hate draft.
I do love magic. It's true.
don't feel confident in choosing a set. So let me. I need a second here because a lot of the true dregs are gone. And to be honest,
there are some sets that are
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there are some sets that are on this list that are like pretty universally disliked, and there are some on there that I like more than others, but I don't think they would make my roster better if I had them, if that makes sense. It would just be like this is a set that means something to me type vibe.
There are plenty. What is wrong with you? There are so many terrible sets still left on the board. What is happening?
Yeah, even
right
I
now?
Think that, yeah.
Like,
I see, and I don't know Nikolai's preferences well, so it's difficult to hate draft. And a lot of the bad sets that are left are sets that I kind of liked, despite them getting a bad rep.
Just roll a die and pick one of the M sets.
One of the core 20s.
Want me to tell you a set that I think a lot of people hate that you could put on my team that I would like?
No, this is...
No, I don't want to collude.
This is chicanery. Yeah, Alex, you
super
called it.
Super team.
Yeah, this super team thing before. That happened.
They talked
exactly.
before, I'm telling you.
I think, I don't know. This is tough. I think I'm just going to go with my gut and say the community is out of its mind. And I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to Nikolai.
Okay. That's fair. I don't hate that one.
How do you feel about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Did you draft this set a lot?
I actually did draft this set a lot. I had a decent amount of success with it. There were some reasonable decks. As far as like the worst sets on the list, it wasn't like bottom tier, you know? I think it got a lot of hate because of the Spider-Man slander. Growing up, I kind of liked the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I felt like most of the hate categories, once it was funny because I really didn't want Spider-Man. And then once Ethan started talking about the Alchemy Horizons, I was like, oh, please don't put that on my team. But other than those two, there were a bunch that I like didn't really mind having. Like I really wanted someone to hate draft Ixalan for my team because everyone hates that set, but it was the first set I ever made YouTube videos for. And so I was like, okay, people hate it, but like if it's on my team, it makes sense.
Ixalan apologist podcast. It's an Ixalan support group here. Nikolai, you have the last hate draft. What are we giving to Mr. Positivity?
And you can't give him a corset. You can't give him a corset.
Alex is the person that I've had on as a guest more than anybody else on the history of my channel. So it feels bad having to take something from him.
Make his roster worse. Possible.
It's kind of crazy because there are so many sets here that are I'm kind of like Ben, where a lot of my sets are like, oh, these are all pretty good. This is all pretty reasonable. I don't mind these ones. There is one set that is a clear outlier that I like think is like pretty bad. I think the core sets are all pretty decent. The one set that didn't get picked by anybody that I thought would get picked by somebody is Zendikar Rising, because I love that set.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did you say love? Did you say love that set or hate that?
I love that set. So
wow. Okay.
Let's just keep the table talk to a minimum before Nikolai makes his actual pick here, because I don't want to.
But I want to influence here. There are two sets that I'm mostly choosing between that are widely hated by the community. I'm shocked nobody has hate drafted either of these options. And those two options are, of course, Phyrexia All Will Be One, which is widely hated because it was the Uck says it all. But I didn't mind that set, but that set was very fast. Getting poison killed was no fun, and it was just like kind of wild. And then another set that I think was pretty weak effort was Guilds of Ravnica, because it was like two decks getting like disinformation campaigned out of the game was no fun, or getting Boros Aggroed out of the game was no fun. But with that in mind, and all of that said, I think for my last pick of the draft, hate drafting Alex through necessity, not by choice, I'm going to give him Phyrexia All Will Be One.
It's a good choice, Nikolai. That is one of the few sets that I can't even, like, you know, be like, well, you know, it did have this. I really can't.
I thought when I was making my hate draft list, I was like, giving Ethan Secrets of Strixhaven was funny, and then like giving Ben Spider-Man was like kind of funny. If I almost considered first picking of the draft giving Ben Spider-Man, because that would have been one of the craziest.
Choosing hate, not love.
Just immediately. Yeah, but I needed a Korea. But yeah, so I'm going to give Alex Phyrexia All Will Be One. I wouldn't have minded having that on my team because I won the Arena Open for that set. But nice. That's just
I was surprised no mention of Adventures in the Forgotten.
I know.
AFR. That's my pick for worst set with Spider-Man. That and New Capenna was the other one.
Well, you don't know. You don't even know how bad. You think AFR was bad. Imagine.
Baldur's Gate was a commander set. They took the commander cards and put them on Arena.
So we all say, for listeners out there or who are not watching along in YouTube land, what everyone's roster is. Everyone go through and say what their roster is, and then we can maybe talk about some sets that were left off the table.
Yeah.
I love that.
Nikolai, you want to kick things off?
Okay, going through my roster, in the GOAT category, I've got Ikoria. In the Synergy category, I have Wilds of Eldraine. Prince, I have War of the Spark. I was hate drafted with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then for my new plane, I have Avatar the Last Airbender. And then my returning plane, I have the classic Dominaria original version.
I'm going to run down my roster, which I think speaks for itself. In the GOAT tier, I've got Duskmourn, Synergy, Modern Horizons 3, Prince, Theros Beyond Death. I was hate drafted Spider-Man. New plane, I've got Lord of the Rings, and in returning plane, I've got Dominaria United.
All right. For my roster, I have for my GOAT, Brothers War. For the Synergy set, Kamigawa Neon Dynasty. For the Prince set, Tarkir Dragonstorm. I was hate drafted Alchemy Horizons Baldur's Gate. For new plane, I have Kaldheim. For returning plane, I have Aetherdrift.
I've got Final Fantasy for my GOAT tier. For the Synergy tier, I have Innistrad Midnight Hunt. For the Prince tier, we've got Crimson Vow. I was hate drafted Phyrexia All Will Be One. New plane, I have Strixhaven. And for returning plane, I have Shadows Over Innistrad Remastered.
Yeah, the triple Innistrad life there.
I'm very an Innistrad clear, boy. It's my favorite plane.
Very clear allegiance. For me, I have Throne of Eldraine in GOAT. In Synergy, I have Kaladesh Remastered. In Prince, I have March of the Machine. I was hate-drafted Secrets of Strixhaven by Sam. In New Plane, I have Edge of Eternities. And in Returning Plane, I have Ravnica Allegiance. What's still on the board that people are surprised by? I feel like we alluded to some of the bottom sets, rather. Surprised that AFR was not listed as a hate draft.
I'm pretty surprised Zendikar Rising's on the board still. Like, I had that in a bunch of categories, like Returning Plane, Synergy Plane. I even, like, if I wasn't going to put it in GOAT because I had enough there, but I really liked that set. I think tracking creature types was kind of fun for class, and I thought that set was pretty cool.
If I was going to hate draft Alex, I was going to give him Zendikar Rising, and I don't know what your you're nodding, so it feels like that was a good, that would have been a good choice. But like, I just remember like that was when we had started writing at Channel Fireball, and that was like a 4 month, like that set was, that was, I remember because I looked it up, it was 19 weeks from Course for Zendikar Rising to Crash Course for the next set. And it was just the most like harrowing desert of content creation, whether or not you liked that set aside. But I also think that set, it's hard for any set to hold up for 19 weeks.
That's what it was for me. That was the set that the universe decided that all of us limited player deserve some sort of karmic punishment. And we were stuck in the same set for months and months. It was just Groundhog Day.
I will say for me, this might not be a fan favorite, but it has a very warm spot in my heart. His Rivals of Ixalan is a set that that is the highest ranked set that I have left on my list that was not drafted.
That one, and for me also Murders at Karlov Manor.
Yeah.
Another one that's very, that's what I thought you were going to say, fond memories from the PT, but Murders at Karlov Manor I think was a great draft format, had great mechanics, and I was surprised that nobody snapped it up.
I was worried for a second you were going to give Bloomborough to Nikolai in Hate Draft.
Well, that's what my heart says. I hated Bloomborough. Like, I loathed Bloomborough, but I feel like the community liked Bloomborough okay.
Yeah, that is.
That's I wish you'd given me Bloomborough because I didn't hate it. I liked it because I think theme matters to me a lot in sets more so than maybe other players. But like the theme of Bloomborough I liked. And so playing with the cards naturally brought me joy. Like my shirt like would fit right into Bloomborough right now. For those not listening to the podcast, it has a giant axolotl on it. But the general sentiment, I think, around Bloomborough was that it was kind of an easy set. It was kind of like the core set of that year, I feel like, which is why advanced drafters maybe didn't like it as much. But it was very simple. I got a lot of comments like, oh, this set feels easy to draft. I see mice and I draft mice. It's nice.
There's one set for the hate draft category that kind of sticks out as a sore thumb that we didn't even mention, which is Streets and New Capenna.
Yes, yes.
I was hoping someone would put that on my team. I like that set.
I'm assuming that, Ben, you were not interested in giving anyone that because of big score slander.
Yeah, I enjoyed that fine. Like, I don't think it was the most balanced format of all time, but I found love in the tier two decks.
The hopeless place.
In Streets of New Capenna.
It is interesting how, like, even something like Theros Beyond Death, I think is actually a pretty terrible draft format, but I have such fond memories because of the GP. And similarly, like Streets of New Capenna, I played in a team SCG sealed event here in Pittsburgh and like had a great time. We did very well, and I also got to play with my friends, and like, so that's the first thing I remember from Streets, even though I know that I hated seeing Inspiring Overseer in packs of Magic cards. Like, just absolutely hated it.
I think Lost Caverns of Ixalan could have been picked.
So the other two sets I was debating for Prince that no one drafted was Amonkhet Remastered. And I was going to make the case that the princes in that format were the Wraths. There were like 8 Wraths in that format, and you could never play to the board, and best of one was miserable. And the other one I'm really surprised by is OTJ. Like, Bonnie Paul, anybody? Like, that format was bombtastic, and I'm sort of surprised, but maybe it didn't quite meet the Venn diagram overlap of bomby, but yeah, I actually also liked it. Well, my hope is that this is the first of many, because as I was going through this, I don't know if anyone else had ideas like this, I was coming up with other categories. I was like, oh, we could do this. Like, one of the things I floated was like best set for Cube, but I also thought, I think it's very interesting to do like, you know, best set that everybody else hates, or worst set that everybody else seems to like.
Yeah.
And like, I think there's room to do different categories. We could also choose from a different pool of sets. I think there's more iterations to be done here.
You could do individual colors, individual decks, like pick a set with a really good black red deck in it.
Oh, and then once you draw, like, let's say you wanted to draft blue white knights for March of the Machine, but I took red black sack for March of the Machine. Now it's off the table for you to take in blue white. I like that.
I would say that for engagement purposes, coming up in the comments, if you come up with a creative name for the five of us teaming up on one podcast and give us a creative team name, we might potentially use that in the future when we work together. So as a super team. So that's something that I've done some brainstorming of my own, but I think applying the entire community's collective brain power to a good name for the super squad is would be fantastic.
Nikolai's gonna.
Yeah. Right.
Shaq literally told me I would get the first pick, I would take Ikoria, and that Ben would be in shambles. That was literally in the prophecy. I was like, oh my gosh.
He wasn't wrong. Shaq wasn't wrong. Alex, what do you think? I feel like you want to give us an assessment of everyone's roster here.
Yeah, no, I honestly think like fairly balanced overall. Like I could maybe pick a favorite and one that I, you know, my least favorite, but I think it was less difficult than I think all of us anticipated. We weren't sweating it out until the very, very end, basically. Like, there were some close ones at the end there. But, look, there's been a lot of good Magic sets in the past 5 years or whatever. So, lots of good stuff to choose from. And for completionist sake, I think the only set that we didn't mention...
Lost Caverns of Ixalan, name, that filthy draft format.
What are your thoughts on Foundations, everybody?
Extremely... unmemorable for a card with 500 cards in it. It's extraordinary. unmemorable to me.
Yeah.
No, there's plenty we didn't mention. We didn't mention
Pioneer Masters,
Lost Caverns, Lorwyn Eclipsed.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. No, I did miss a few. Yeah, you're right.
I'm a big Pioneer Masters fan. I thought that set was sweet.
I did.
Oh, you should have drafted it then.
Yeah.
Next. Well, we don't know where he would have put it, because even if he really liked it, maybe he would put it into a different category instead. I still like, he's like, this is my personal GOAT format and I'm putting it in new set. Kaldheim is a great pick though. I love that set.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully, like I said, we're gonna re-rack this at some point again. My hope is that we can do it live. We can all find a Magic Con that we can converge upon and re-rack, because I think it would make a great live show. But I just couldn't wait to pull the trigger on this. I've been wanting to do it for too long. So I really appreciate you making my dreams come true.
Yeah, this was excellent. Thanks for the idea.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's great to be on the pod.
And on that note, time to wrap it up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all our content at lordsoflimited.com. We've got links to our episode backlogs, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, respectively, our merch, our Patreon page, all of that available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.